I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Kadri Ismail going to join us at noon Eastern on whether or not the Ravens are going to be living or they're dying, whether or not John Harbaugh is coming back, and whether or not Lamar Jackson is the long-term quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. One of those questions has already been answered. Which one of those questions? You got to stay tuned until noon Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. Is Peter there? Oh, we don't have Peter there. I knew we weren't going to have Peter. I'm struggling today, America, with getting the stones to pick Notre Dame over to pick Notre Dame over Clemson. I want to. I look at Clemson's schedule, and so many people, and it's based on this argument, so many people want to look at Notre Dame's schedule and talk about how terrible it is. I look at Clemson's schedule. Folks, I implore you. Where? Well, because they play in the ACC. Hell, that ain't an argument. The ACC? You want to look at Clemson's schedule right now? You have Clemson and a bunch of basketball schools. From what they have. Peter, hello.
How are you, sir?
Peter, I'm struggling today. It's wonderful to speak to you as
it
well.
It is. I was just telling somebody off the air, the great thing about us being able to talk in the morning on a Saturday,
yeah,
it's better than talking on a Sunday night because we don't have to worry about insulting anybody. That might drift into the studio on a Sunday night. So it's really cool that we could talk about whatever we want to talk about in this forum, as opposed to being worried about just anybody straggling into the studio on a Sunday night. You know what I'm saying?
Like Joe D'Aloisio getting married someday and starting off World War III.
Yeah, you don't want somebody interrupting the program. We're having a good conversation. I think this is nice. God. There's nobody here.
Oh my God. Oh, Peter, you made me feel so much better. All right, Peter, are you going to be here on Saturdays from now on?
Yes, I'm always here on Saturday morning.
Good, strong hockey talks returning, yes. My friends.
Yes.
All right, so next Saturday we're going to have to go over with the Winter Classic, okay? Because I know you're going to be thrilled about that. And I like how they're keeping the outdoor series down and not really expand, at least from what it seems to be, not expanding it all crazily.
There's
There's a game
at the end of February in Philadelphia,
perfect.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. You can have two or three or whatever, but don't let's not get crazy with it because I think that's what makes it a novelty and makes it cool.
Yes.
I want to pick Clemson to lose, and I want to pick Notre Dame to win, and I just can't do it. I want to, and I can't do it because people are, well, look at Notre Dame's schedule, Ken. I go, look at Clemson's schedule. I mean, Boston College is ranked 17th. Are we really going to throw Boston College into this mix and give them any credit here? So tell me why I should still – I'm still picking Clemson because it's Clemson. Yeah. Can you give me any sort of an argument for an upset at all on one of these games?
The only argument that I can give – I just hope the game is good. I hope I hope we're talking about, you know, both games. You hope both games are good and they put on a good show. But the only thing I think you could hang your hat on with Notre Dame is that maybe, you know, Clemson's going through all this, you know, off the field stuff with the drug testing and stuff like that. Maybe it throws them off a little bit. But I think you have to be careful with that sometimes, because when you start thinking, oh, a team, you know, they're having some trouble, that's when a team like pulls themselves together and they're like, oh, okay, so we might be missing this guy, but we still come out and blow you out. So that would be the biggest reason why I would tell you you can't go with Notre Dame today.
See, I think that would be like, to me, that makes me sound like, and I think you're right, because it makes me sound like problem gambler. Like, oh, Dexter Lawrence and Braden Galloway and Zach Yella's out. Oh, man, I got to pick Notre Dame. And it's like, that's still a pretty deep, pretty good Clemson team over there, bud. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know if I really want to do that. But I just hate the argument about the schedule, Peter. I can't, because the ACC to me sucks. Mm-hmm. Florida State is not what Florida State is. Hopefully they'll be good again, because I think when Florida State's good, it makes college football better.
It sure does.
Bobby Petrino still licking his wounds from motorcycle accidents. He's gone. Duke is still just, I like Duke because of David Cutcliffe. I have nothing bad to say about them. When you have Pitt, who is making a run in the ACC as your opponent in the ACC championship game, and you beat him 42-10, that tells me you're in a weak conference. I wasn't looking forward to that game whatsoever. Like, I did look forward to the Big Ten championship game, because Northwestern can surprise some people. Obviously, the SEC championship game, I wasn't looking forward to Pitt and Clemson. That tells me you're in a weak conference. So when we're talking about anything as far as battle-tested, I think there's a lot rotten underneath that surface. When it says 13-0, I think that's 13-0 with an asterisk right now, but I still think that's a team that can win by two touchdowns.
I don't buy into this whole argument that Notre Dame should be in a conference. I think they play a reputable schedule. They travel and play games they do home games in cities that are not their city. So that's a little bit of a taxing thing on a team. But I have no complaints with how Notre Dame operates. And it would be nice to see Notre Dame win a national championship again, just because of the tradition and, you know, that Notre Dame football.
You sure about that? That might be insufferable.
I don't have any ties to a college football team. So I'm like, I think it would be cool if Notre Dame. I think it would be cool if the Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl again. I have no hatred towards the Dallas Cowboys.
What are you saying, Peter?
Why not?
I know you're a Jet fan. You still live
just don't
in New
like
York.
The Patriots. No, I don't mind the Cowboys. The only time I don't like the Cowboys is when it's a Jets home game and the Cowboys, half the place is rooting for Dallas. Then it annoys me. Then it annoys me a little bit. But I have no hatred towards the Cowboys. I don't mind. Whatever. It's football.
I still love you, Peter. Yeah. Follow Peter on Twitter at Schwartz Sports. Peter, I know you got to run. We're going to do Good Strong Hockey Talk next week.
Among
okay, buddy.
Among other topics of conversation.
Among other topics of conversation. Take care, bud. You too. The great Peter Schwartz joining us on the show, talking about college football. The Big Four tonight, with the four teams going in, Notre Dame taking on Clemson. I still don't got the pills to take Notre Dame, and with Alabama in Oklahoma, the annoying take that I'm going to get after this game is Alabama's going to win it, and, well, they gave the Heisman to the wrong guy. Alabama's a better overall football team. But when you're going to be saying, and I know I'm going to have to bring it up tomorrow night, well, they picked the wrong guy, you're short-sighting the argument. If I'm giving the Heisman Trophy to Kyler Murray, I'm saying because that team wouldn't be where it is because of Kyler Murray. It's the opposite for Tua Tagovailoa. Now, if Tua Tagovailoa was able to go out there, or Vailoa was able to go out there and take Alabama and put him on its back, if they were to completely fall apart the way they didn't when Jalen Hurts came in, then I think it makes the argument for him stronger. Go with me on this, but if Jalen Hurts goes in and Alabama struggles, and they don't beat Georgia, Tua Tagovailoa, that to me, that's your Heisman Trophy winner. Because finally, that argument is settled. Alabama is in Alabama, and he was having a rough game going into it, or playing in it, obviously, because of the leg injury. But if you have Tua out there, and he's playing, and he's struggling, and then Jalen Hurts goes out there and struggles even much more, I think that's almost cements what it could have been for Tua to be the Heisman Trophy winner. But Jalen Hurts goes in, plays well, and he did play well, and they end up getting over, and it's, well, Alabama's just a machine. You can take any quarterback you want. You can switch him in, switch him out. It doesn't really matter. Alabama's Alabama. But Oklahoma without Kyler Murray, forget about it. And now we talk about Kyler Murray with a different light. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get Black Monday coming up here in just a little bit. I know that today seems to be such a fun day because of college football, and it obviously is. And already we're starting, and I stayed off Twitter for most of this week, and when I got back to it, already 18 playoff, 18 playoff, 18 playoff. Somebody went through and drew up an 18 playoff, put it on my Facebook, 18 playoff. Guys, why would – no one's arguing against an 18 playoff. If anything, they're talking about an 18 playoff to make it even better, to make even more money. And you can do it. You have to get sponsors to agree to it because they know that they've made money off a bowl system before and they've made money off of championship games before. But there's a couple of hoops you have to jump through before we just say that it's more fair, it's more balanced, because fighting against an 18 playoff, that's a straw man. No one's doing it. An 18 playoff is good. It's more fun. But there is realism that I just have to warn you against you. And if you're one of the folks, and you're going to have to do your own soul searching here, if you want an 18 playoff, then as it is, you better not be telling me we need to pay the players. You better not be crying about stipends and crying about guys being so poor in college football and how they couldn't even buy their books and they had to sell their books and they couldn't even eat dinner. They were so hungry, these college athletes. You can't do that anymore. Because with the way it is right now, there is a big, big difference on the type of money that you're able to get. Because if you go to 16 games, and that is the basis of it, when you play an 18 playoff, because you don't want to give up any of the regular season games, and we'll get to that here in a moment, you don't want to give up any of those regular season games. And if you get to an 18 playoff, you end up playing 16 games. Now, there are different ways to finagle this, obviously, if you did a 16 playoff or something like that. But stay to an 18 playoff. You play 16 games, you can't do it because you're getting sued in a class action suit. Because you're playing as many as the big boys do in their regular season, and they're getting paid millions of dollars or at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. College athletes aren't getting anything. And so you can still cry poor and make a good argument for yourself as is right now. But once you play an 18 playoff and you get to 16 games, then you find yourself with a problem. And you could say, well, it's so much better and you can make more money. Absolutely you can. And when I say to you get to 16 games, and immediately your first argument is, well, we don't have to play those early season games. Oh, yes, you do. Because everybody loves the underdog. Everybody loves the darling. Everybody loves the team that's downtrodden, that pulls itself up by its bootstraps and becomes the next big thing. We did it in the early 2000s with Boise State. We're doing it right now with UCF. How the hell do you think those teams become those type of teams? Listen, they recruit, and sometimes you get yourself a hot hand of good athletes, and maybe you're able to build upon that. But you also have to do that with money. You also have to do that with good recruiters who get paid more money than a lot of other recruiters out there in mid-major conferences. So to get that money, you need to go on the road at the beginning part of the season when you're in your infancy and take on teams like Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Michigan and USC, even though USC is not a great example now, but stick with me, USC, Texas, Oklahoma, those teams. You need to go on the road and get paid $1.3 million to finance your program for the rest of the season so you can start to become one of those teams. And then you can build, you can recruit, you have a bigger budget to go out and recruit, to fly places to go get players, and then you can become a success story like UCF, who started out at 0-12 just a few years ago. You can become a success story like Boise State, which had a rich tradition in D1AA and then was able to work its way up, or even the way that Appalachian State's going right now. And Appalachian State's known for a couple of things: playing very good football in the bowl, at the subdivision and the non-football bowl subdivision and the championship subdivision, starting to put something together that's big, and obviously beating Michigan in the Big House and collecting money to do so. And we want to get rid of these games and talk about, well, let's play more conference games. Okay, that's a little smaller piece of the pie for some of the mid-major schools that you want to say that you want to put in. You want to make an argument for UCF. Is UCF UCF if they don't go on the road and play some of these big-time schools a couple of years ago? I say no. And then if there's something such a thing as Title IX, then you have to bring into the question of, at the beginning of the season, and you play some of these teams there, you're not just funding a football program, you're helping to fund the entire athletic budget for some of these schools throughout the entire year with that 1.3 or 1.5 or 1 million or 800,000 or whatever it might be. With that money you're getting from Alabama or top-tier schools to play them, you're funding an entire athletic budget. So now, if you have to quote-unquote pay players and they're playing an 8-team playoff, which means it could be 16 games or 15 games to make sure they stay under the big boys with the NFL so they don't have to pay anybody, well, then you're getting rid of those early games, which means then you're getting rid of opportunities. Because if we're getting rid of opportunities, now I can't afford to have that type of budget anymore, which means that I have to get rid of a men's program for a woman's program, which means that you're going to eliminate opportunities for other people that are going to want to play college athletics, that are going to want to participate in where Ohio State has 34 or 36 athletic programs. You would have to eliminate some of the programs, not at Ohio State, but at a lot of the other places in your other area that you don't really talk about that much because it's not one of those creme de la creme schools. When we think about an 8-team playoff, our visions of grandeur are so big. Man, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Who says no to that? Of course who says no to that. Are you kidding me? That's shooting fish in a barrel. But if I look underneath, you better fix some things first before you start to do that because there's dollars and cents and there's opportunity that's at stake here for not just college football, but for other programs out there as well. And it's easier for me to sit here in the middle of nowhere as a great big Alabama fan and talk about, who cares? But if it's someone in your family or somebody who wants an opportunity to play maybe mid-major college football somewhere, and all of a sudden we're starting to close up shop because of an 8-team playoff, there is a downside to it. So if you want an 8-team playoff, hey, no one's fighting against that. But I don't know how you can sit here with the present system and say, we got to pay players as well. It's easy to be Jay Billis when you don't think about the other side of things. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up in a bit, what Baker Mayfield did to Hugh Jackson was perfect. Asking him about it was somehow even better. Next, though, it's Black Monday. Who's in, who's out after tomorrow's games? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
All right. We're about 24 hours away from where we really start to heat it up and we hear the rumors about who's out and who's in. And then we're about 48 hours away from starting to see all the things that might come down on Black Monday. So with week 17 here and some coaches whose asses are starting to feel a little bit warm in the hot seat, go ahead and keep that playing. We get to our very own Tom DiBenedetto. As Tom DiBenedetto presents to me the Black Monday, who's in, who's out. Go ahead, Tom.
What's up, Ken?
It's wonderful to have you.
Happy to start right here with my New York Jets and their embattled head coach, Todd Bowles.
I say he's out, and I think with good reason. I think that's turned into a horrific situation. The question is, does McHagnin stay? Tom, what do you think?
I don't think he's done anything to earn his keep. The only reason to argue that he should stay is just stability, which I do value.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's shown me any reason that we should trust him with $100 million of cap space and the draft picks that they have.
They did go out and spend a whole bunch of money, went 10-6 a couple years ago.
They did.
Not that got him anything, really.
It didn't. It didn't. And, you know, you could give McHagnin credit for Darnold, too, but the reality is Darnold was handed to him on a platter, and they got lucky. They shouldn't have been able to get Darnold at the third
pick. You know what? I would do that. If Sam Darnold was a second-round quarterback, if Dak Prescott ends up being really, really, really good, and I go back and forth on Dak Prescott. I'm more negative on Dak Prescott than a lot of people are. If he ended up being great, and then I got to give the Jones family credit. That's a fourth-round quarterback. Daffy Duck could have drafted one of these guys, could have drafted Sam Darnold, so I'm not going to listen to any of that. Go ahead.
All right,
I say he's out, too. Go ahead.
All right, let's stay in division with one that I think is an interesting one, with the Dolphins and Adam Gase.
You know, and every coach needs a quarterback, and he ain't got one, and it's been a problem. Yeah, you know what? I don't trust Mr. T as far as I could throw him, so I would definitely get rid of him. Maybe Adam Gase stays, but you want to bring in your own guy. It's probably best for everybody involved to make a clean split. I would say gone.
You would think that Gase would be a pretty hot commodity, though, if
he would.
They did get fired, right?
He would, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Are you doing it? Again, I have to ask those questions. Are you doing it just because you're mad? Is this going to make you better, or could it get any worse? Can you really be better? If you draft a better quarterback...
They've overachieved this year. I definitely think so.
Are they getting rid of Mr. T?
I doubt that.
If they are... Then yes, Gase goes, because I don't like waiting a year and putting people on different clocks. If they don't get rid of Mike Tannenbaum, then go ahead and keep him. Go ahead and keep him. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's stay in the AFC East with one more, also a very interesting one with the Bills and Sean McDermott.
I'd say he stays. I don't mind Josh Allen that much. I think Sean McDermott's done a pretty fine job. I think that team could have been. You know, a one or a two game winner is how bad that team was. I think Sean McDermott's done a fine job to get them to 5-10, probably going to be 5-11. I'd say stick with him one more year. See what Josh Allen can do this coming season. See if it could really work out. Next.
And he doesn't seem to be out of favor either. All right, let's head to Denver now. A lot of bad rumors about Vance Joseph.
Goodbye. It's above his head. The job's just above his head. And I'm not using what happened a couple of weeks ago because I think that was outcome-based. With the field goal instead of going for it on 4th-and-1, I think that's an outcome-based argument based on what happened on the other side of the field. I just think he's overmatched. Case Keenum isn't working out, but I still go higher. I want to know, what has John Elway done? Think about this truly. What has John Elway done that's better than any regular Bronco fan?
That's a great question.
Exactly. Because any Bronco fan would have drafted Bradley Chubb. Any Bronco fan would have went out and gotten Peyton Manning and would have given up what he could take for Peyton Manning. Any Bronco fan could have made the decisions that he could have made when it actually took some scouting, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian in the 7th round, and saying, well, we'll just get over that. Okay. Because any pick that you have that's high, that's not a quarterback, you have a finite amount of time with that guy, and if you're not getting to the postseason as soon as possible, you're wasting his snaps. So you're wasting Bradley Chubb because he's playing on the other side of Von Miller and you're not getting to the postseason. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll look at Vance Joseph. I mean, hell, even Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak, people knew he was a good coach. He just ran out of time in Houston. Any Bronco fan could have made that decision. What are you doing, John? Next.
All right, let's talk about the incredibly disappointing Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Marrone.
I still sigh longingly. I think they're the biggest disappointment, and I'm mad at them. And I don't think they have any business being 5-10, but man, their quarterback's so bad. I'd keep them for another year. Try to fix that quarterback spot. And I'd keep Doug Marrone for another year. I don't like Doug Marrone. I think he's kind of a goof, but he's a good football coach. I'd keep him for another year. So go ahead.
All right. Based on the conversation you had earlier in the show with a caller, I think I know which way to go with this one, but Redskins and Jay Gruden.
I'd keep Jay Gruden. I think Jay Gruden has been snake bitten, and I'd like to stay the course if I'm the Redskins and have a little bit more stability before I make such a rash change. I know people are upset. I know that the NFC East isn't that good, but stick with it. Next.
All right, well, they say the writing's on the wall for Steve Wilks and the Cardinals. What say you?
If you're firing Steve Wilks, then you need to fire Steve Keim, because that is a complete and utter abomination. To have a coach that you have... Did anybody think the Cardinals were going to be any good this year? Did you feel that?
No.
McKeon, you didn't think the Cardinals were going to be good this year, did you?
I thought they'd be better than they are now, to be honest with you.
Okay, they're 3-12, so what's better, 5-11?
6-10, 7-9.
6-10, 7-9? Wow, Brian, you're really overestimating the Cardinals.
They did bring Bradford in, you remember. They had a legitimate quarterback to start the year.
Well, that's just a belief system, because I totally disagree. I thought that they'd be right around the neighborhood of 4 wins, and they are in that neighborhood. I think that that's a silly move. You bring a guy in, you keep him for 1 year, you knew that team wasn't going to be good, and now you're leaving the blame at his doorstep. I think you're firing everybody. I don't think you're just firing the head coach in that situation. Next.
Yeah, 1 year is not.
If you have to fire a head coach after 1 year, then I need to look at the guy who hired him and said, you've made a terrible mistake for my franchise, and you need to go too. Next.
All right, Dirk Cutter and the Buccaneers.
Gone. Totally lost control of that. You can thank Jameis Winston for that. Next.
It's a little bit of a circus.
Shove it, Johnny Paycheck. Go ahead.
All right, let's head to Ohio and talk about the Bengals and the never-ending coaching career of Marvin Lewis.
Can I say he goes? How do I say he goes?
It's weird.
He will stay. It's like a dog that just won't die, and everybody around the family is going, man, you gotta let that dog go. And you just keep finding ways to keep it alive. That dog's gotta go. Marvin Lewis has gotta go. Of course, if you let Marvin Lewis go, is Hugh Jackson gonna be that answer then? Maybe you want to keep Marvin Lewis if you're a Bengals fan.
Just about to bring that up. I mean, the rumors are that they're going to let Marvin decide, and if he goes, it'll be Hugh, which is just, both of those options are so bad.
Can you imagine that? Behind door number one, it's Marvin Lewis. Behind door number two, it's Hugh Jackson. Behind door number three, it's a bottle of Windex.
All right, and the last one I had on this list, it doesn't really count for this, but you can weigh in on what you think's going to happen with Greg Williams and the Browns.
What I think or what I want?
Let's hear both.
A lot of people keep saying he's going. So by that amount of people, just because of popularity of the decision by the insiders, I would say he probably goes. I tell you what, I need to start every basis, and I talked about Nick Saban at the beginning of the show. I need to have every conversation based off of Greg Williams. Is candidate A better than Greg Williams? If candidate A is not better than Greg Williams, then the situation that Greg Williams has right now, then he goes. Can I trust him to make this a better situation than what Greg Williams has? And Freddie Kitchens gets thrown into that mix as well. We've been having this conversation for weeks now with Browns fans. And Greg, I mean, gosh, if they win tomorrow against Baltimore, they'd be 6-2 in the final eight games with Greg Williams. And I'm told that that's not a reason to. The wins, you still need to operate differently. Well, if you're winning football games, there's pressure on you to try to win. I don't understand how there's no pressure on these guys. I think he deserves a crack at it. If they win and they put themselves in a conversation, I think he deserves a crack at the job, to be the head coach of the Browns. So I'd say keep him. Not on that one, Johnny. Fabulous as always, my friends. Well done there, Tom. Well done. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up at 12:40, Chip Patterson will join us. CBS Sports College Football and Basketball. Coming up at noon, Kadri Ishmael. Up next, well, you know what? We'll stick in Cleveland because what Baker Mayfield did to Hugh Jackson was perfect. Asking him about it was somehow even better.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Kadri Ishmael going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll talk NFL with him, also talk some Ravens with him, because if they win, they're in. If they lose, it's good night, Irene, for the Baltimore Ravens. So Kadri Ishmael going to join us at noon Eastern. Also, Chip Patterson will talk college football with him at 12:35, 12:40 p.m. Eastern. Also, 3 Up, 3 Down at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Boy, I've been chomping at the bit about this all week, or champing at the bit if you're Shakespearean. I've been going, want to go after this all week, because all week I've been reading about it, all week I've been hearing about it, and I didn't get on social media. I didn't want to weigh in on it just until I had my druthers now. Because I know that he's a lightning rod for controversy. I also know that this is professional football and I demand to be entertained. So when I'm watching, and yeah, I know where I'm from, so of course that's going to be thrown into there, so I'll beat you to it. But when I'm watching Baker Mayfield run down the sidelines or jog down the sidelines, and he looks at Hugh Jackson and does a look back at Hugh Jackson, and then continues to go down to the huddle to put a knee on it to win things for the Cleveland Browns. To borrow a cheap line from Gladiator, are you not entertained by that? This isn't high school. This isn't college. This isn't Little League football. These are the pros. And it's a money entertainment business. This isn't for the enrichment of the player. This isn't for the enrichment of the student athlete. This isn't for any of that stuff. This is about pure and simple entertainment. Are you not entertained by that? Because I sure as hell was. On either side of the coin. Some people took it an inch further. I heard one media member say, well, what about the children in there? Which I thought that was laughable. What about the children when Randy Moss did what he did on the goalpost in Green Bay? What about the children over any other touchdown celebration or any other moment? What about the snatch chain, which happened to Michael Crabtree? What about that? If we're going to talk about what about the children? Let's leave professional football where it's supposed to be. If it's college, if it's high school, you might have a conversation with that. In the NFL, these are grown men. They're paid a handsome amount of money to entertain me. And when you win, to the victor go the spoils. That's the beauty of it. The fun of winning in the NFL and being a fan base in the NFL is to be able to talk trash and to be able to know that you won because it's only about winning. It's not about any of the other tradition stuff. In college football, we love to lie to ourselves about that all the time. We win and we do it the right way, says the Notre Dame fan. We win and we do it the right way, says the Alabama fan. We win and we do it the right way. No, 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 you don't. If you're a good program, you cheat, but you lie to yourself. Even if you didn't go to school, you just lie. It's okay. You cloak yourself if you lose. Well, we still do this and we still do that. Oh, the refs are against us. Ah, they don't want to see a Southern team win. Hey, I don't want to see an independent that does it right like Notre Dame win. You can lie to yourself. In the NFL, nah. I mean, you could blame the refs if you really want to, but it's just about cold calculating winning. So when that happens and it raises the blood pressure of everybody involved, Browns fans getting excited about it, people at Oklahoma getting excited about it because of Baker Mayfield, and then on the other side, people becoming so enraged. It is glorious to me. It's glorious. Because I tell you what, I was one of the other people at, not this time last year, but about 13, 14 months ago. I started to come around by the end of the season. I'll grant it. But at the beginning of last season with Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield, I wanted no part of it. Lunch trucks, running away from cops. I'll admit to it wholeheartedly. I wasn't going to put that in charge of my franchise. And then watching the way that he played, all right, maybe you can get away with this here. Maybe it was one act of indiscretion. We've always heard some of the old stories about some of the other great quarterbacks. All right, the Johnny Manziel situation was still fresh in my memory, I'll admit. Planting the flag at Ohio State, I got to admit I loved. Shaking his garbage at Kansas, I thought that was silly. Reading up on the backstory, okay, it makes it a little bit understandable. And the reason it makes it a little bit more understandable, if he was going out there and losing every single week and getting his ass handed to him and he was still acting that way, it wouldn't be understandable. The very most beautiful part of this is that he's winning. The Browns are winning. They're 5-2 over their last seven. They almost made the playoffs this year, and that's part of the reason I think that Baker Mayfield stared down Hugh Jackson, and we'll get to that here in a moment. But it's that they're winning. Because that's the fun of all of this. Don't you understand? At the end of all this, when it's done with Baker Mayfield, if he continues to win and the Browns continue to be a good football team, if there's any sort of a mishap, if there's any sort of a problem, if they lose any sort of a game, there will be that many more people who are on him. It's just the function of what it is. But if they keep winning, it's just going to be the way. Because no matter what, we can't fight a guy who wins. We want to make this argument all the time about how the betterment, the enrichment of all this, that's all just the biggest load of crap we can ever find. We have seen people do horrible things, way worse than shaking your garbage at Kansas, way worse than staring down a former coach. We've seen way worse than any of that, and we've been able to look past it because of winning. The whole Kobe Bryant scenario, hey, don't worry about it. Hey, he's a 5-time champion. He was one of the greatest of all time. Yeah, don't worry about any of that stuff. Yeah, you don't want to do that. We don't even think about some of the indiscretions with Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, you know, he's won a whole bunch of games. Don't worry about it with Ben Roethlisberger. Tom Brady, 4 games for Deflategate, please. He was actually suspended. Sat out. Ah, but they win a bunch of games. Don't worry. When you're successful, we'll overlook all this stuff, sometimes to our own peril and to our own fault. But when it's just this type of thing, hey, that's what makes it more fun to me. So when you're at pro football and you're at that level and you're just about getting my money, getting my entertainment dollar, letting me feel like I'm a part of your organization, when really I'm not as a fan, but making me feel like I'm a part of your organization, if you do that and you're doing it right and you're winning, which is doing it right, I love it. I think it's absolutely great. And I thought even asking him about it somehow made it even better. This is Baker Mayfield earlier this week when asked the question about staring down Hugh Jackson.
You're supposed to play with emotion. You're supposed to play with passion. Quite honestly, if you don't like it, whatever. It's, football's not meant to be a soft game. Care less.
When he says that, and you have fans who are in Cleveland, there is no quarterback, and I mean this, there is such a thing as fit and time and place. And you see the way that Cleveland fans have been for the last 20 years, especially with the Browns, the way that they react to you on social media, nobody has a bigger chip on their shoulder than Cleveland fans. And when you have a guy like Baker Mayfield who flat out says, yeah, you're supposed to play with emotion, and I don't care what you say about this. There is no better fan base that Baker Mayfield could have been with than Cleveland Browns fans. Maybe Oakland fans. Maybe. Maybe. Jets fans? Nah, it's still that New York type of thing. You'd still have the other side right there in the city. Maybe it's just a little bit. It's the mega of mega cities, but you'd still have that other side. They'd be going after you. It'd still be some ugliness there. I don't think it would be that way. When you have a guy who goes out and performs and wins, and they win more games than they have over the last how many years combined now, and he has that to say when he's asked that question, where you have fans who quite literally, and I mean this, you can underline it, they loathe Hugh Jackson. Loathe him. And when they win in that stadium for the first time in God knows how long, and they beat the former coach who's on the sidelines, and he looks at that head coach, you're telling me the Browns fans wouldn't get with something like that? You're nuts. Then you're out of with everything. You're out of touch with everything in Cleveland. There is no better fit than Baker Mayfield with this Cleveland Browns football team, with this Cleveland Browns fan base. Because nobody has a bigger chip on their shoulder in football than Baker Mayfield, and no fan base has a bigger chip on their shoulder than Cleveland fans. And for all you folks that have been looking at this the wrong way, and I'm talking about other guys who do other national shows and basically spouting off hot takes on Baker Mayfield just to get the other side riled up to get them going. And yes, I will completely disrespect their opinions on that, and we'll see what Kadri Ishmael has to say about it, because I'm sure he'll talk some trash as well coming up here in just a few minutes. You're getting it all wrong, and you know you're getting it all wrong. And you're going to take that tack for it because, one, Hugh Jackson went on a national TV and radio tour after he got fired by the Cleveland Browns, which I guess that's the Browns' fault because I can't imagine them having a non-disclosure agreement, not having that in a contract. So I guess that's still on the Browns. But then to go to an in-division rival, well, it's a pro football coach. He took another pro football job. This guy doesn't know the way. See, you can say that, but it's not really the truth. If we can, and Tom, I know you have this loaded, let's go back to Hard Knocks, shall we?
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
I was a little bit later this morning.
No, I know, but no, what time do you normally come over?
Depends on when we start.
Huh?
Try and get in about 2 hours before.
Do you ever come in with your boy, Five?
He does his own little workouts in the mornings.
Where's your little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your little workout in the morning? You start starting your career how you want to, you see what I'm saying? It's a competition in everything you do, baby. You know how to do it. Why not?
Audio courtesy of HBO. Now, there's things that you don't know as a viewer that he would know as a person who's on the football team. And he may see a different Hugh Jackson on camera, or who he thinks Hugh Jackson is on camera, than what he sees in real life. And want him to hear that Baker Mayfield doesn't like Hugh Jackson because he got fired and picked another job? He might have said that, but let's be honest about this. Let's be honest about this whole discussion. The Browns are 7-7-1. Baker Mayfield has been playing since the Jets game, and for the most part has been playing lights-out football. And has made an argument over Saquon Barkley with some folks as the rookie of the year offensively. Something that Browns fans couldn't even imagine at this time last year as they were on their way to an 0-16 season. You don't think for a moment that Baker Mayfield doesn't think if he wasn't starting at the beginning of this year, this team would be in the playoffs right now? You don't think for a moment that if Baker Mayfield thought that if he was really given a real opportunity to be the starting quarterback, that this team wouldn't be in a position that they haven't been since 2002, and that he doesn't know, or at least he should know, that these opportunities are precious? 2 years ago, Carson Wentz, or I should say even last year, Carson Wentz was on his way to an MVP and that he was taking over the league and he was going to dominate the NFC for the next decade plus. Now we're having an argument over whether he or Nick Foles should be signed long term for the Philadelphia Eagles because you can't trust Carson Wentz because he's so often injured. These are very fragile opportunities and they're here and gone sometimes in an instant. And if that you think that's lost on Baker Mayfield, you really have no clue about the NFL or certainly this man whatsoever. It's even more beautiful that all this is going down for him. Coming up next, Kadri Ishmael. We'll talk about the Ravens' chances. And is John Harbaugh really coming back next year? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.